Is this on?
Yeah.
It's on.
Okay.
This is Oscar Jackson here at Oscar Jackson's Fine Used Car Emporium. Chicken Head Road by the Piggly Wiggly. Best used cars in the area. We accept all type of financing. Snap, EBT, Case Fireball. I'll get you a car. I don't care what ethnicity you are or what your binary or non-binary whatever thing is. I don't. You got money. That's all that's important to me. At least I'm honest about it. But anyway, I got a special deal this week. If you come down, get a used car. My wife, she made a bunch of treats, cookies and cakes and pies and stuff. And if you come down here and get a used car, you get to choose one of those. I have them all in my office. I have a big table of brownies and cookies and apple pies and my wife's specialty made with bananas and whipped cream, Cool Whip actually. We don't make it by hand. So if you come down, get a quality used vehicle, bring money, bring your Snap, your EBT, or Case Fireball, I'll get you in a car, and you get a car, and you get one of these tasty oven-baked things that my wife of 72 years made. That's at Oscar Jackson's Used Car Emporium on Chicken Head Road near the Piggly Wiggly. Come on down, get a used car, get a baked good, get a pie or some cookies. You come to my office and I'll give it to you. So just to reiterate and explain so there's no misconstruction or misunderstanding. If you buy a car from me this week, you could come to my office and possibly I will give you a cream pie. You come to my office after getting a car and I will cream pie you. I got good cream pies and my cream pie will fill you up. So come on down and get a car and get a cream pie. That's Oscar Jackson's Used Car Emporium on Chicken Head Road near the Piggly Wiggly. So come on down. Got these cream pies waiting for you. And God bless the Confederacy. Welcome to another fun-filled edition of Victims of Fun. I'm your host, El Stevo. How's everybody doing today? Before we get started, anybody who's listening in the Northeast, like around New Hampshire or New York or something, God, you stay safe during a hurricane. It's Hurricane Henri. It is a French hurricane, which means it'll probably surrender very, very soon. Oh, just seriously, be careful. Hurricanes are bad. We get them in Florida quite a bit, and they're rough. So welcome to episode 16 of season 5 of Victims of Fun. As always, I want to thank the fine folks at Anchor FM for the best podcasting software company host on the planet. Remember, you can go to anchor.fm and download the Anchor app to your mobile phone or to your laptop of your choice of operating system. You can be podcasting in less than 5 minutes, and Anchor will distribute it to Spotify and to Overcast and Pandora and everywhere else, and they will even monetize it for you, set you up with some ads, and you could put in a supporter button. People can throw you money. Nobody's sending me anything. Yeah, it's great, but the good thing about Anchor is if you put it on your phone, you have a mobile podcasting thing, so if you're ever out somewhere and see somebody famous or interesting or see some aliens, you could hit the podcast button and start podcasting right from the spot. Also want to thank the fine folks at the Blue Microphone Company for this beautiful Blue Yeti Snowball microphone. I'm still waiting for my Blue Ella headphones that I've been begging for. And of course, Victims of Fun is stored on a Seagate 2TB SSD external hard drive, and it is made exclusively on an Apple MacBook Air M1, brand new one, using GarageBand. So there you go. So welcome to this week's Victims of Fun. I got the green tea and everything ready to go. And I finally got a Twitch channel up. I've put the link in the identification, but you can just go on the Twitch and look for Victims of Fun. I've streamed twice so far. I streamed a session of Idol Manager, which is where you're a manager of a musical group in Japan, a bunch of girls, and you're guiding them to become idols. We went out of business like 5 times, and I wasn't taking it too seriously because I had these little 14 and 15 year old Japanese girls in my little idol band, and I was having them play death metal and hardcore punk and things like that. And it's a pretty brutal game with some questionable morality in it, because I guess you can sell these kids as, like, I don't want to say prostitutes, but like, oh, hey, you know, a big shot industrialist would like to go on a date with one of the idols and is willing to pay 50 million yen to do it. And so, well, she's only 15, but 50 million yen, yeah, go. I was started streaming Borderlands 2 playthrough. I've played through Borderlands before, but I decided to do it again. And so I streamed a couple hours of me going through Borderlands 2. Which is pretty cool, you know. I like it. But I've been hanging out a lot on Twitch. Just, you know, I like to see what's going on. I like to see what people are doing, so I can maybe possibly, you know, get in on some of that sweet Twitch stream money. It's, you know, it's always about money. That's what I like. And I've been actually spending a lot of time on the Twitch stream of a girl called Allegory, or the Plague Doctor, and she plays a lot of Apex Legends and Dragon Age, and I've been spending a lot of time on her channel because she's very personable, she's very friendly, and she's got a pretty good group of people, not big, but not small. Like, it seems like a hardcore group of fans that show up all the time, and you can go on Twitch and you can follow her. Just type in The Allegory, T-H-E-A-L-L-E-G-O-R-Y, and she's very funny. She's a good girl. I like her. And she's got a good Twitch stream. Very good Dragon Age, which I've never played before, but it's interesting watching her go through it. And Apex Legends is like the new game that everybody's playing. But of course, can't play any of those on a Mac. That's why I do Borderlands. But it was interesting. Last night, we were watching me and some other people that usually hang out there, watching her play Dragon Age, and we just started talking, and one of the things we started talking about, because she's a big Star Trek and Star Wars nerd, and I'm a huge Star Wars and Star Trek fan, and we just started this discussion about, you know, how, in my personal opinion, in Star Wars, the Empire were actually the good guys. And it sparked this heated, friendly discussion where I was throwing out a whole bunch of facts and everything that the Rebel Alliance was doing that was very dubious. And it was a very interesting conversation. And that's, I kind of want to touch on that for a while because, you know, if you remember Star Wars, I saw Star Wars in a drive-in in Maine when it first came out. We were on a camping trip, and it came out, and everybody went and saw it at a drive-in, and I went. And, you know, being a little kid in 1977, I was 7, 8, 9 years old. Didn't really understand it. I just knew it had robots and explosions and sci-fi. You know, I was a big Godzilla fan. And the original Star Trek was a bit over my head, but I watched it. But I figured, you know, it was enjoyable. I saw it a couple times because I asked my parents to take me back to see it. And, but, you know, over the years, you know, Star Wars has been around forever. It's part of, and anybody who's my age, it's been a big part of our lives, for better or for worse. Even though J.J. Abrams ruined it like he ruins everything else he touches, I hope he stays away from Battlestar Galactica. But he, but there was this always this thing that, you know, Star Wars presented itself as the Empire was bad and the Rebellion was good. And it wasn't shades of gray. It was cut black and white. Good, evil, done. No middle ground. But the more you watch Star Wars as an adult, and especially when you're highly educated like I am, which I'm not patting myself in the back. I am extremely highly educated. You start realizing that there's a lot of holes in the Galactic Republic, in the Rebel Alliance. A lot of questionable things, and as you get older, you start realizing that, you know, maybe the Empire were the good guys after all. So we're going to touch on that for a bit. I can hear everybody shutting the podcast off now. Nobody ever wants to hear about this. People want to hear about what's going on in Afghanistan, but I told you, I try to stay away from political stuff because it's too divisive. That's why I don't touch on political topics or religion or sexuality or anything like that, because no matter what I say, it's going to piss people off, and I'd rather not do that. I like to talk about things that everybody can agree on or disagree on in a friendly thing. I'm not touching the rest of that stuff. So, here we go. The Empire was not bad, per se. It was stern, but it was not bad. The first thing that was brought up in the Allegory's Twitch stream last night was Alderaan a valid military target? You remember Star Wars, the Death Star shows up and Alderaan blows it up. And Princess Leia's like, oh no, Alderaan's peaceful, it has no weapons. And that was a lie. Okay, because if you read the books and all the Star Wars canon books and the novels and everything support, Alderaan, and I made this point in the Twitch stream, an Allegory's Twitch stream last night. Alderaan was a legitimate military target because it was the center of the rebellion. Now, Yavin 4 is where the base was. The Yavin 4 is where the battle took place in the first Star Wars. But Yavin 4, Dantooine, Hoth were sort of the three bases that were mentioned in the first three Star Wars movies. They were like the bases that the United States has overseas, like in Afghanistan or Germany or Japan or wherever. Those were the overseas bases. Alderaan was like Washington, D.C. It was the center of the government. It was the center of the movement, at least as far as the rebellion goes, because the rebellion didn't have a government. It was a rebellion against the lawfully, by the way, the Empire was lawfully elected. Palpatine was elected. But the center, the political center of the rebellion was Alderaan, because if you remember, Bail Organa and Mon Mothma were the faces of the rebellion, and it was based out of Alderaan. So yes, Alderaan was a legitimate military target. The same way Hiroshima was, the same way Nagasaki was, the same way Dresden and Berlin and London and Warsaw and throughout human history, Constantinople, whatever, they were valid military targets. Yes, civilians live there. They live everywhere where there's military targets. There's no way getting around it. But it was a valid military target. So this idea that the Empire blew up Alderaan was evil is a bunch of bullshit. Because valid military target. Now, so they blew up Alderaan. There you go. Okay. So that takes the Alderaan argument off of the table. Now, the other thing was the whole slavery issue. So, under the Republic, which predated the Empire, because remember, the Empire took place over the Republic. Right? The Republic was turned into the Empire when Palpatine became Emperor. So, under the Republic, slavery was all throughout the Republic. Everywhere. There was slavery on most of the planets. People were enslaved, blah, blah, blah. Under the Empire, the slave trade was basically destroyed because it was just something either they didn't agree with, they didn't like, or they didn't make money off of. Whatever the reason was, the slave trade under the Empire was pretty much destroyed. Now, remember, Anakin Skywalker, Darth Vader, was a slave child. And his mother was a slave to Watto on Tatooine. So, there's Tatooine. It's a planet of the Republic. The government knows there's a slavery going on there. They don't do anything about it. Qui-Gon Jinn and Obi-Wan Kenobi show up, and Qui-Gon Jinn actually makes the comment, "We didn't come here to free slaves." Well, no shit, because the Jedi never do free slaves. They just don't do it. Because everything is the will of the Force to them. You know, bunch of bullshit. So, and now after Anakin Skywalker becomes a Jedi Padawan and trained by Kenobi, did the Republic come storming into Tatooine to free his mother? Nope. But, you know, they wouldn't do that because, you know, we're not going to show up and free these slaves. But God forbid Anakin goes to rescue his mother, finds out she's killed, and then, you know, wipes out a bunch of sand people who had killed and tortured his mother. Suddenly Anakin's a bad guy? Bullshit. There should have been Mon Calamari cruisers over Tatooine, you know, threatening to bomb the planet unless the slaves were. I mean, the Hutts should have been. I mean, it's bullshit. Okay? So, the Republic knew slavery was going on. They were probably making money off it. The Empire stomped it out. Empire said, no more slavery. Boom. When the Republic was in charge, and then after the Empire fell and the New Republic took over, if you read the canon books and everything, the whole galaxy is just completely in shambles and falling apart because there's no strong central government. Basically, the warlords and the gangsters and everybody had set up individual little fiefdoms throughout the galaxy, and the Republic only really held a couple of the core systems. When the Empire was in charge, they held the entire thing. And everybody stayed in line. And the whole thing with the Empire was, as long as you didn't cause problems for the Empire left you alone. Okay? So, you're Joe Citizen living on planet whatever. And planet whatever is part of the Empire. And there's the Imperial flag, there's an Imperial garrison. And you own a shop, and you make space pizza, okay? And every day, stormtroopers or the local garrison, some of the guys stop by, and they buy pizza off you or whatever. You know, as long as you don't challenge the Empire, as long as you don't go there and go, hey, you know, screw the Emperor, and suicide bomb them or assassinate them, they're going to leave you alone. The Empire wasn't showing up at people's businesses and going, hey, fork over some protection money. No. That was the Republic. Those were the gangsters and the slave traders and the Hutts and everything under the Republic were the ones doing that. The Empire didn't. Now, if you remember, I can't remember if it was Phantom Menace or Attack of the Clones or the one of the prequels where they... I think it was Attack of the Clones, where you first are introduced to Kamino. Kamino is the planet where they made the clones, okay? So, Obi-Wan goes to meet this guy named Dex at Dex's Diner. Dex is an alien. And Dex's Diner on Coruscant, which is the capital of the Republic, and later capital of the Empire. Dex's Diner is right by the Imperial Senate, which later becomes the Imperial Palace. Now, under the Empire, that diner is still there, is still in business, and nobody does anything about it. And actually, in one of the books, one of the canon books, there's a couple throwaway lines in the book that mentions that every so often, some unnamed Imperial officials will show up at Dex's Diner in the back entrance to pick up a large order of food and pay for it. And it's alluded that that is for Emperor Palpatine because he likes the cooking in this diner. Obviously, he can't be seen coming down going, "I will have the Reuben today with a side order of fries." Oh, and a root beer. So, yeah, you're actually not going to see that. But just think about that for a minute. So, the Emperor of the Galaxy has an official go down to this diner and through the back door, get his lunch. He pays for it. Okay? He pays for it. Now, I don't know if the Emperor makes any money, if he's got an expense account or whatever, but the dude pays for his lunch. Yeah, you're telling me the Empire is the bad guy with that? You gotta remember something else, too. If I really start talking back like about all of this, the entire podcast would be like 6 hours long, and I'm kind of limiting myself to a half hour. So, let me bring this up, too. This is a very basic point. If you remember any of the Expanded Universe canon books, you had an extragalactic menace called the Vuzenvong, who are sadomasochistic aliens who reject most forms of technology, and they're not affected by the Force. And they're not from this galaxy. They're not from the Star Wars galaxy. That's why they're called intergalactic invaders. Okay? And there's a war because they invade the Star Wars galaxy, and something like 4 trillion people die in this war. It is established in the canon books that Emperor Palpatine, in his Force meditations, before he became Emperor, because remember, he's always been a Sith, and in his Force meditations, again, remember, Palpatine was the most powerful Sith, and probably the most powerful Force user ever, even more than Luke Skywalker. So he would do Force meditations where he would, I guess, touch the universe. He sensed that something evil was coming to the Star Wars galaxy. But because the Vong were not affected by the Force, he couldn't determine what it was, except that it was malevolent. And this is back decades before he became Chancellor. So there's this thing that Palpatine's long-term plan to become Emperor wasn't to seize power to just be the bad Sith guy sitting on the throne, twirling his Sith mustache. But because he knew the Republic would be divided, it would never be able to fight the Vong because of all the problems and the corruption and everything, and he decided that the only way to defend the galaxy against the Vong was a highly disciplined, militaristic central government that could marshal resources at the snap of a finger and not have to worry about debate or a Senate or asking permission like a Republic would. And that the Death Star specifically was designed as an anti-Vong weapon for when the Vong fleet showed up, the Death Star and 500,000 Star Destroyers would be waiting for them. You damn well... Now, the Vong invasion would have been defeated the minute it crossed the border at that point. But because the Emperor was assassinated and the Death Stars were destroyed, when the Vong showed up, there was nothing to stop them, and they swept across the galaxy like Blitzkrieg 2.0. 4 trillion people. Why? Because the poor rebellion didn't want to have to live under the flag of the Empire. Okay? If you read any of the novels, the Republic, the New Republic, which is the government that takes place after the Empire, they were... Even as Coruscant, the capital, was occupied, we're still trying to negotiate with the Vong. You know damn well they show up, Palpatine would have been like, okay, kill these sons of bitches now. Okay, there wouldn't have been a Vong left. And Palpatine probably would have chased them back to their home planet and blown it up. The Republic is trying to negotiate with them, even as their capital is in flames. Okay? Throughout history, and I'm talking now in history of this planet, of us. Throughout history, the longest lasting governments and countries have been the ones that were harsher, that we're more more militaristic. It's a truth that nobody likes to confront. There's a reason the Roman Empire lasted as long as it did. There's a reason that Genghis Khan's the Mongol Empire lasted as long as it did. There's a reason why highly militaristic states that were not authoritarian but were sterner than republics or democracies, there's a reason they lasted longer. It's because you need that sort of centralized government to defend against outside threats from outside your border. Because if you have a loose confederation, you have a republic or a democracy or a constitutional monarchy or something where you have to debate everything, you're going to get swamped. As opposed to having a very, very concentrated, militaristic, central government that can react instantly without having to go before Congress or Parliament or a Senate or a Duma or a Diet and argue the point and ask for permission. It's just human nature, it's history, it's something people don't like to face or admit, but it's the truth. So, that was the empire, okay? If you think about it, the Republic in Star Wars is more kumbaya, hold hands, hope everybody gets along. Unfortunately, that's not how things work. It's never worked in the history of this planet. And I guarantee you, in the universe, with all those civilizations around there that are out there, and you know they're out there, guarantee you that's not how it works out there. Guarantee you the aliens that pretty much shoot first and ask questions later are the ones that are going to be home at the end of the war smoking their cigars instead of watching their planet in flames. And don't even get me started on how the Jedi kidnapped children, because they did. In the Star Wars universe, if you were a kid who was found to be force sensitive, the Jedi took you from your family, from your parents. You had no choice. You had to go with them. Because they considered that if you were left untrained, your force powers could be used for evil. Okay, well, guess what? If I am force sensitive and you come and take me from my parents and I don't want to go, yeah, you're damn sure my force powers are going to be used for evil, because I'm going to kill you sons of bitches that took me away from my family. And what happened to the kids that absolutely, totally refused, and the parents were like, you're not taking my kid? What happened to the kids who were force sensitive that the Jedi took that they couldn't train for one reason or another? The kid was just too stupid, or the kid just didn't want to do it and kept making up excuses. And you have this kid who has force powers, but he's untrainable. Well, guess what happened to them? They went and worked in the spice mines of Kessel. Okay? Slave labor. Alright? That's what the Jedi did. The Jedi kidnapped children. They were a bunch of robed Jeffrey Epsteins. Okay? That's exactly who they were. Let's just face it, they kidnap kids, all right? See, that's why the Sith, it was the rule of two. So they weren't going around kidnapping people, okay? Because there was only supposed to be two of them. Master and apprentice, that's it. Done, okay? They weren't around kidnapping. Now, another analogy is like the whole thing with the Jedi. Remember, Yoda told Luke Skywalker to abandon his friends, okay? That's the mentality of the Jedi. The whole thing with the Jedi was, you need to forget your bonds of love and loyalty and everything to your family and your friends and focus only on the Force. How cultish is that? That's some real Jim Jones drinking the Kool-Aid Guyana massacre bullshit right there. Seriously. I mean, it was explained to me once, a few years ago. And I was having this almost the same discussion with somebody. And he said to me, he said, think of it this way. He said, a bus catches fire and it's filled with children. Or a building catches fire and it's filled with children. The Jedi attitude is going to be, this is the will of the Force. And even though I care for these children immensely, I can't go around putting out every fire and sending and saving everybody, because that's not what Jedi do. A Sith may not necessarily care about the children in the building, but a Sith will run in to rescue them anyway because Sith rely on their passion. Jedi don't. A Sith can love or hate something. A Jedi feels no emotion. So a Jedi looking at a burning building full of children will be like, this is the will of the Force. A Sith looking at a building burning full of children is going to react one of two ways. Oh my God, these kids are burning to death. I'm going to save them because I love children. Or, oh my God, this building's on fire. These kids are burning to death. This really pisses me off. I'm going to save those kids. Okay? That's how the Sith are. Okay? A Jedi will never remember your birthday. Will never wish you happy birthday. A Sith will either wish you happy birthday or he'll remind you that you're getting older and you're 1 year closer to death. But he won't forget. See, that's the difference, okay? Would you rather rely on your passion or would you rather be a cold brick of logic and emotion like a Vulcan? And don't get me started on Star Trek. The whole Federation is nothing but a dictatorship. Maybe I'll do that my next one. So on one hand, you have a bunch of Force users who rely on their passion. Love, lust, desire, hatred. And then you have a bunch of Force-sensitive people who kidnap children and if they determine that they can't be taught, send them to work in the spice mines of Kessel. And you're telling me that the Empire are the bad guys? I mean, really? I mean, no. I would rather live under the flag of the Empire than have to live in the chaos of the Republic. Because if you are a citizen of the Republic, and you're on a planet and a bunch of spice smugglers or kidnappers or gangsters beat you up and rob you, and you go to your local, Republic security station, they're more than likely going to tell you, well, you know, we're stretched really thin, we can't really do anything about this, or they're on the take with these criminals. You're not going to get any help. Now, you're a citizen of the Empire. There's a very little chance you're going to get mugged, robbed, or whatever, because, you know, the punishment for that sort of thing is death. But if you had some crazy suicidal street gang decides to rob you and beat you up, and you go to your nearest Imperial security station and go, yo, man, these people just, like, attacked me. They're going to send every stormtrooper they have after these people and gun them down, because the Empire doesn't put up with shit. See, the Republic does, the Empire doesn't. The Republic would be like, well, you know, well, half of them would be on the take, okay? And the Imperial ones won't be, because it's kind of like Singapore. Singapore has, like, draconian laws against corruption. If you're a politician in Singapore and you're caught with corruption, you don't get put to death like you do in China, but you're screwed, okay? As opposed to the United States, where you become, you know, a politician. that's pretty much how it is. I mean, you gotta remember, everybody's always saying, well, the Empire is like Nazi Germany. No, it's not. It's not even close. That's a horrible argument to make. Okay, even though somebody I know called them the Judai last night. I'm not gonna get into that. But, it's the Empire is not Nazi Germany, okay? The Empire is not genociding people and stuff like that, all right? And that comparison is just Republic supporters who are trying to falsely paint the Empire as some sort of horribly oppressive government when it's not. It's all fake news. Seriously. All right, so I've hit my self-imposed half-hour time limit. In all seriousness, I could sit here for hours and have a lot more well-articulated arguments about why the Empire is the good guy, but I'm not going to do it because, you know, it's just, I don't want to podcast for 5 hours. Maybe I'll do it on a Twitch stream. But thank you for listening to me ranting about how good the Empire is. Hopefully, Allegory is listening. If you are, I will see you on your Twitch stream. And thank you, everybody, for listening. And remember, you can mail me. You can email me. victimsoffun@mail.com. You can follow me on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and now Twitch. All you gotta do is just type in Victims of Fun in any of those platforms, search things, and I will show up, and you'll see the little blue microphone logo, and you click on it, and you follow me, and hopefully I'll be Twitch streaming a lot more. I'm starting to figure it out, and doing good there. Remember, you can listen to me on Spotify, on Pandora, Apple Music, Overcast, Google Cast, a whole bunch of other things. Make sure you hit that supporter button and send me your money, because you're probably spending your money on Shirley Temples and cinnamon buns. You could be giving your cash to me. All right? I could be buying cigars and sake and stuff like that. So, there you go. Thank you for listening. And thank you to everybody who has been a fan. I have developed a few fans. I'm just hoping I could eventually get it to 50 unique listeners so I qualify for the Anchor FM advertiser campaign. I'm trying to get there. Slowly but surely. Thank you, everybody, and God bless you. And remember, try to love each other, because we all share this planet together. And hail Palpatine! All hail our Sith Lord. Take care.